Good morning. Welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Glad to have everybody here this morning for 10:30 worship. And thank you for any of you who have given blood or are going to give afterwards. I hope to be on there afterwards to give blood. We're very blessed to have them here. They come every 60 days, and the last time they had 20 donors. And when I was in my office this morning, I happened to look out the window, and I saw some people pulling up to at least try to donate that just saw the bus or the sign. So that's a good thing. So we're grateful to have that for those of us who can give the blood, the gift of life. John Steed, the first concert. He is gospel Christian country. He's going to be here at 4 o'clock today. 4 o'clock today. Quit smirking at me about country music. My thanks to Rosemary for having the concert here today. We'll be right here. And it's open to anybody, including your neighbors and friends, if you know anybody. I had another person pester me this morning about coming to this and doing things at four. It was not Rosemary. You have to understand where my spiritual, emotional, physical drain is at 4 o'clock on a Sunday. Regardless that I do not like country music, whether it's Christian country or not, if you want to do something on Sunday at 4 o'clock, you are on your own. I will be sitting on my couch watching cars left, straight. But thank you, Rosemary. It's right. You know what was, that's, Blazing Saddles was on Friday night. I watched it. There you go. That's a different kind of music. But today, 4 o'clock, and Rosemary has some other ones lined up or getting them lined up, so. Come, July 10th, yes, the next one. And it's Emir Abu, Aaron Abu, saxophone, coming. Yeah, a lot of people, apparently, you may have to bring in more chairs for that one. So, yeah, that's July. We'll get it in the bulletin coming up here. Wednesday is the tour for Hands of Mercy Everywhere. If you'd like to go, there's a sign-up and meet here at 11 o'clock. If you remember, Hands of Mercy Everywhere is up in Bellevue. They have three houses. And that is a great way to get up there and see how they care for these young women who are pregnant or have real infant children and how they help them get on their feet, stay in school, etc. Tour leaving here at 11 o'clock or early, a little bit earlier in there. But anyway, they're going up at 11. Carolyn has the information. She's leading the charge. Next Sunday, try to come early. Please do if you'd like to vote. We will be having the called congregational meeting on the Memorial Garden. This is the small size photo. The blow up is out there. This is the southwest corner over here where this is going to go. I know it's hard to see, but there is a parking pad that you go if you see to the left. It has bushes around it. We don't use this. It's a dumpster pad, actually. We don't use that because we don't need a dumpster, but we had to put it in per civil engineering in Marion County. But that's a sidewalk that goes there. We're going to get rid of that parking space. So there'll be sidewalk all the way out. In the center is the columbarium itself, a scatter area here. The columbarium will have, if you vote to do it, 48 niches, 24 per side. And I have to write a new song for this one. They are 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches, or 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 foot. But somehow that sounds like a country song. So you will be voting on whether you'd like to build that. The good news is the cost and what we have in the bank already. The columbarium, just the columbarium itself, that's where the 48 niches will be, is $15,800 per contract. All the landscaping is $9,575. We believe the irrigation, we're still waiting for the final bid from Vague Irrigation, but he told me, and I've worked with him forever, if you remember, he put the irrigation in at the former church memorial garden. It'll be around $1,200. So basically right now the cost is $26,575. And if you look in your bulletin at the capital section, we have $65,085 already in capital. So we don't have to ask you for anything. And that's the first since we built the church. I think everybody should give that a big amen, right? Perry's happy back there. I can see that. So My thanks to Ann Trenery, who will be leading the meeting along with Vicki, our president. She did all the work on the design with, of course, the folks who do that stuff. So next Sunday, 10 o'clock, if you are not a member and you want to come, still do. You just can't vote, but you can find out more information. How many of you can count? Art says no. We are in need of counters. Two did volunteer from the first service. Judy knows this. Judy's our financial secretary, and Trenary is our head counter who works with Judy and, of course, Carol Gibson, our treasurer. On Mondays, they meet to count the offering. So if you are free on Monday and can help, just you have to talk to Ann, talk to Judy, talk to Carol. They'll get the name out to Ann, and you can come and learn how to do it. I forgot to tell them at the first service, but it takes you no more than, what, about 2 hours max? Yep.
2 hours max.
Yeah, yeah. It's something like Easter Sunday would be longer, but like this Sunday, yeah. And it's a pretty streamlined process. I know Sharon's been doing it for years, so if you can do that or know somebody that sits with you that's not here today, just let Ann, Judy, or Carol know. So if you like to handle money, there you go. This is right up your alley. So we're going to take a quiet minute to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. You may be seated. You're in good voice. We continue worship on page 2 of your worship folder with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue with confession. In the holy name of Jesus, who makes a way for us in the wilderness of our lives as our great good shepherd, walks with us and guides us in our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy Jesus, we confess that at times we wander far from you. At times we do not trust your promises. At times we ignore God your Father's prophetic messengers in our midst. At times we squander our inheritance of your forgiveness, grace, mercy, and peace. And at times we fail to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us by the Holy Spirit's power. Turn us again to you. Continue to teach us to follow in your ways. Assure us again of your love. And guide us to love and serve you and our neighbors. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Word continues to gather us and grants us his salvation. We remain grounded in Jesus' forgiveness, grace, mercy, love, and peace. In Jesus' holy name, our sins are forgiven. Jesus journeys with us and teaches us how to live in his love and serve him and our neighbors. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the day, praying it together. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you gave your only Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, to suffer death on his cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you deliver us from the power of sin, death, and the evil one. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to make us die every day to our sin, so that we live with you and the Holy Spirit forever in the joy of Jesus' resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As we get ready to pray the prayer for the world together, certainly we keep the mass murder victims in our prayers from Buffalo, New York. You've probably heard about that by now. Was definitely a racist motivated 18-year-old who drove 3 hours to go there. We keep his family in our prayers as well as him after he's committed that. But there's always nuggets out there. I want to just lift up the bravery and the heroic act of the guard that was there. There was a security guard. He didn't realize the 18-year-old was wearing body armor. But he did fire a round, and it did hit him in the chest, the perpetrator. Of course, it didn't kill him or knock him down, but he deflected from some of the people who were then going to be killed because that person, the 18-year-old, had to turn his attention to the security guard. So there's always acts of heroism in the face of terror and bigotry and racism. So we give him an amen, but keep all those folks in your prayers. And embedded in here is always praying for those folks, including the victims of the war, as you know, in Ukraine as well. Let us pray together. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced people. All victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. All victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters. All victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, including in Afghanistan, Syria, Ukraine, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Rise as you're able for the reading of the gospel. If you'd like to follow along in the inserts, the first one on top there, but Carolyn's here. It's up on the monitors. She's gospel lector at both services, worshiping in the first. Everybody say good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, everyone. After Jesus washed his disciples' feet, predicted his betrayal, and then revealed his betrayer, Jesus teaches about his glorification on his cross and in his empty tomb. This deep, complicated love of Jesus, even to death on his cross and resurrection from his tomb, are the distinctive marks of Jesus' holy Catholic Church. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Give Carolyn a big amen. As we sang in the beautiful theological hymn, "Father God, because your Son lives, we can face tomorrow and know that we too live in his righteousness, forgiven by your Son, Father God, and raised up from death and hell that would have pursued us and would have claimed us. But we know because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Someone may take our body, but they can't take our soul. But as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may we also know the Holy Spirit emboldens us to go serve in action, word, and deed, as the gospel says. From Jesus himself, the world will know that you are my followers because you love one another, and embedded in there is serve one another. May we do so boldly as we leave this place after worship, begin our new week together, knowing again that the Lord will lead us to his ministries and missions on behalf of your world, Father God, and your people. And the Holy Spirit will always help and guide us to get it done. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. A couple things about that hymn, which reminded me of some things. One, theologically, that I hold dear, but I was actually thinking about the Casper clan back there. When it says, you know, the joy basically of holding, it happens to be talking about a boy, but look, is that the love of Christ right there? Look at Zoe. She's all fired up this morning. And look at that outfit. But because he lives, she can face tomorrow. That is incredible good news, isn't it? It's exciting. I was literally thinking that. But on top of that, one of my favorite theological things that I found at Freedom Point Rehabilitation, you know, this hymn says, because he lives, I can face the future. And if you were here, I preached on this a couple of times, what it has down there, and Patty Judd made me a nice placard of that. I have it hanging on my lamp right by my TV. So even if I'm watching NASCAR, it's right there. It says, if you recall, faith is not knowing what the future holds. Faith is knowing who holds the future. Amen and hallelujah. That is what that hymn is about. We don't know what tomorrow, even the rest of the day, is going to bring, but we know who holds our future in this life and in the next. And that is exciting, isn't it? Christianity is the only faith that actually holds to things like that. That is exciting. You should get pumped up. But that's just why I'm exhausted at 4 o'clock, because I do this and I'm excited and it's draining. I'm not Jesus. Jesus went 24/7. I can't do that. No, I can't do that. In this incredible good news of this gospel and everything that we have, we are now in the fifth Sunday of Easter, and I had been preaching that when in the fifth Sunday, we've already moved into the fifth Sunday, which is before Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. The first three Sundays, we have resurrected Christ, and now we are dealing with Christ before his crucifixion and resurrection. But in today's gospel, there's something also exciting that's happening that's connected to last Sunday when we were in chapter 10. That gospel began, Jesus was celebrating in the temple the festival of dedication. It's a high celebration time. And you remember, if you were here, it was Hanukkah he was celebrating, by our words. There's another celebration happening today, but it's a different time frame altogether. It's Passover. By now, in this gospel, Jesus has not only washed his disciples' feet and instituted the Lord's Supper, it is the Passover celebration. But there's something a lot different in this celebratory time versus where we were. We're going to jump forward into chapter 14 next week, and then 17, and also celebrate the Ascension Gospel to end Easter. But know this, Jesus rides into Jerusalem in triumph in chapter 12. Before the Passover, he's raised Lazarus from the grave. Mary has anointed him, Lazarus' sister. And we find that Jesus is already in trouble with the religious authorities because they're plotting to kill Jesus and they're plotting to kill Lazarus. In that celebration, that runs very quickly, and we get to today, chapter 13. This begins this chapter, the night, the last one of his life. And if you want to know what Jesus was going through and what he was doing, this is the gospel that gives you the account. There are five chapters here, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. See, I should be a counter. Pastors don't count money. Their own, but not yours. The Lord's. Think about what Jesus is doing in this gospel. It's the only account we have of this much detail of the last night of his life. Chapter 18, he goes out into the night, and he is arrested rather rapidly, isn't he? If you want to really think about where Jesus was, where his theology was, where his love for his people, all humankind, and the agony he's going through, this is a really, really detailed account. We begin it today with where Jesus was. But you should be excited theologically about something that Carolyn read. He went out. Did you catch that? He went out. You should say to yourself, who went out? And who went out to do what? When he went out, is anybody excited about that besides me? When he went out, you may have guessed it is Judas who has gone out, because this is the last night of his life. In this chapter, when he went out, and then the question theologically is to do what? He is going out to turn Jesus over to the religious authorities, isn't he? So it's a long time to chapter 18. Judas is gone, if you want to see what Jesus and the other disciples are up to. But part of what's happening to Jesus here in the last night of his life, it's the agony and the pain he's going through. Because Judas didn't just go out into the night. Something happened beforehand. And it's the few verses that start here in chapter 13 before today. Jesus is teaching before Judas leaves. Jesus was deeply troubled and declared openly, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. How much agony that is for him. They've all been traveling with him for 3 years. The disciples looked at one another completely puzzled about whom Jesus meant. One of the disciples whom Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus. Simon Peter motioned to him and said, "Ask Jesus who it is that he is talking about." So that disciple moved closer to Jesus' side and asked, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus answered, "I will dip the bread in the bowl and give it to him. He is the man." So Jesus took a piece of bread, dipped it, and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan went into him. Jesus said to Judas, "Hurry and do what you must." None of those at the table understood why Jesus said this to Judas. Since Judas was in charge of the money, some of the disciples thought that Jesus had told him to go and buy what they needed for the Passover feast, or else that Jesus had told him to give something to the poor. Judas accepted the bread and went out at once. And it was night, the last night of his life. Think about his pain. Judas has been with him the whole time. And he knows what Judas is going out to do, to instigate. But it doesn't stop there. After today's text, before this chapter ends, Jesus' agony continues. After Jesus says, "You cannot go where I'm going," Peter speaks up. "Where are you going, Lord?" Simon Peter asked him. "You cannot follow me now where I'm going," answered Jesus, "but later you will." "Lord, why can't I follow you?" said Peter. "I'm ready to die for you." And Jesus answered him, "Are you really ready to die for me, Peter? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will say 3 times that you do not know me." That's the beginning of the last night of his life with his disciples. So put yourself in that perspective about what he is literally going through. And then we have chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 to build upon his agony. But what has he done? He continues to be joyous, and he continues to teach. Knowing this, knowing that they're going to do this, he has said, "Learn to love one another as I first loved you. Love one another so that people will know that you follow me, because they will see in you that if you love one another, that you are following my teaching." Remember, he's just washed the disciples' feet. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. It's not directly in this gospel, but if you read on into these other chapters, you will say it's the only time Jesus bluntly says this: "You must eat of my flesh and drink my blood to receive the kingdom of heaven." I would say that's the institution of the Lord's Supper, don't you? He knows, this writer, that you're going to read it in the other three Gospels directly. It was more important to serve and wash the disciples' feet and teach us to go out and love one another. That's not always easy to do in the world. We don't like everybody in the world, do we? I mean, I like the guy that's going to sing country. I just don't like country music. I have to harass you, Rosemary. I pick on you enough. But this isn't just the agony of Jesus. It's what he teaches in today's gospel. You cannot go where I'm going. And he knows on this last night of his life, it's not just about him being turned over by Judas to the religious authorities, which he knows then will turn him over to the secular authorities, eventually to be falsely accused and, of course, crucified and sentenced to death by Pilate. It's what he's saying there. You cannot go where I am going, because he knows he is taking in his cross the weight of our sin, the sin of the world, on his shoulders. You cannot go there, Jesus says. And it's when he is separated from his Father, who will not tolerate sin, and the Holy Spirit, who will not, and he descends into hell. If we descend into hell, we're not coming back. Jesus came back, because hell and death and Satan has no dominion over us. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow, because he has our soul. Can you imagine? I always wanted to know what was going on in hell. Don't you think Jesus is looking at the devil the whole time going, nah, 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 nah? Don't you? We have to ask him. Didn't you think there's some crazy questions you could ask Jesus? We don't have any recording of what happened to Jesus other than he went in the tomb and he came out and he was alive. There was something going on there. Anybody theologically intrigued, you could write a whole novel on that, don't you think? I don't like to write either, so it won't be me. In this incredible good news, Jesus proves his love in the face of his betrayers, all of his disciples, and all those who killed him. Because he first loves us, we can then love one another. And he proves it in the gospel. When he teaches that, to love one another, he proves it in his resurrection. He first appears to Mary Magdalene only in this gospel. And I love it because he says her name. She doesn't know who he is. It's personal. Mary! She thinks he's the gardener. Mary! I wonder if he charged as much as our landscaping company. I don't know. Jesus has a sense of humor, right? Jesus has a sense of humor, right? Oh, come on back there. In that incredible good news, Mary wasn't there to have her feet washed. Mary wasn't there when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Mary wasn't there to hear Jesus teach his disciples after Judas left to go love one another as I first love you. The disciples, in my theological opinion, were terrified that Mary had told them that he was alive. And this gospel, in his great account of him coming to them, teaches us something about his love. It was late that evening. There's the theology. And what evening? The day of Jesus' resurrection. I'd say that's a big day in the history of the human race, isn't it? Isn't it? Gosh almighty, get excited here. And the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. And I believe they were afraid of Jesus. He's coming to get us. You think Peter was going, I told him I wasn't going to deny him. And I heard the cock crow and oh, he knows. Then Jesus came and stood among them. Of course, Thomas isn't here at this time. Peace be with you, he said. After saying this, Jesus showed him his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with great joy at seeing the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. He's giving them his love. Be at peace. I knew you were going to do this to me, and I love you. Now get out there and share the good news. Because I live, there's a tomorrow for you. And then he does this, and you know I love this because I get you to do this all the time, or I prod you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus said this, and then he gives the power right away, only in this gospel, and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And go and love one another is embedded in there. Amen and hallelujah. That's why the church has to stand up all the time. You hear me preach this and proclaim it from the mountaintops. There are two forces in the world that are competing for our soul. And it is good, and that's Christ, and it is Satan, and that is evil. Did you notice what I read going back into St. John 13? What happened to Judas when the bread was given to him that was dipped in the bowl? It says, and Satan entered him. Do you think that only happened then? Do you think that only happened then? It happened to someone who drove 3 hours to Buffalo, New York, because he turned into a racist 18-year-old bigot, and he basically murdered in cold blood 10 people and wounded 3 more. How does that happen? Because he can't have Christ in his life. There is no way. Possibly he'll find Christ now, but we are defenseless against the devil. Whatever weakness you have without Christ, Satan is going to find his way in because he has more power than we do if we don't have Christ. That is the good news. We have Christ, right? And if you were shopping there with our brothers and sisters who happen to mostly be black and you were killed that day, he has taken you to the eternal kingdom. And that act of domestic terror has no dominion over those who were murdered or wounded. Amen and hallelujah. Amen and hallelujah. But loving one another in the gospel is also not only to speak about these things, but to rise up. It is unacceptable if someone says a racial slur, whether it's family or friends, if you don't confront it and say, that's not Christ, and that's not what he told us to do, to love one another. We prayed it this morning again. Did you catch that? Okay. The disciples didn't stand up till after his resurrection. Well, guess what? It's after his resurrection for us too. Rise up. Satan uses the internet the same as Jesus. It was not possible in my theology for us to blame the actions of the shooter on Satan. It was still his act, but Satan got to him and convinced him that killing people who were different from him was what is the right thing to do. I don't believe human beings have that power without being told that by the evil one himself. That didn't make him act. He acted by himself, fortunately. But know that that's out there. But we have more power than that. Isn't it exciting? Some of you are frowning. Some of you are saying, please, let's get to the coffee. But it's not always difficult situations like that. Sometimes it's simple acts of loving one another. We have a member of our congregation. She happened to be homebound. Her husband is still able to come to worship. He's here. She's been in intensive care for over 2 weeks at the Villages Hospital. She was very near death. She was intubated for many days. They were having to take her off the intubation this Tuesday morning, and Jim thought his beloved bride, Dorothy, might not survive. He said, Pastor, can you come to the hospital in case we need last rites? So I got to the hospital Tuesday, roughly around 11. I had to give them time. They were supposedly doing the removal, which they began around 10. And she fortunately is living. She is getting better, slow but sure. She's got a long way to go. But I didn't know that. And I was walking down the hall, and a couple was there, probably a few years older than me, maybe in their 70s at best. It was a man I didn't know at the beginning, but it was him and his wife. Happened to be Joe and Ray are their names, and they stopped me. We're the only ones in the hall on the way to ICU. God sent you to us. Now, when I hear that, I can't laugh because they're crying. It was a bad thing, but my brain, the way I think, says, if you really think God has a sense of humor, yes, that I, you know, because God put me in ministry, right? You all agree with that, right? Yeah. But I had to say, they wanted a prayer for Joe's mom. I said, I can't do it right now. I'll find you because I might have to give last rites to somebody. They were okay with that. Mom happens to be named Joanne, is in intensive care. She was that day. And so I made my way around to her room, and the doors closed and knocked out. Really, really beautiful woman, very frail, very petite, probably had heart issues, but she was alert. And Joe and Ray, the daughter-in-law, were in there. That's the son, Joe. And we went in, and they said, would you pray with Mom? She was alert, and she prayed with us, and they were very excited. I said, hey, what's your favorite color? She said, pink. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to go out to my truck. I'm going to see if I have a pink cross that I give out in my truck, and I'm going to bring you in a prayer book. And I did. I went back. I didn't have a pink cross. So Wednesday, I went back, and I took her one of these. And I went in, and I still remember Joe looking at me. Ray had gone out to use the restroom. Joe looked at me and said, you came back. It's today's gospel. Because we love each other. And I was able to give this to her. And man, she smiled with the biggest smile. Because she realized that people who don't know her were praying for her and loved her, which is the gospel. She died the next day. But she died with this. And she died. No, there's people in the world who aren't going to make the news, who care and live the gospel. Amen. And hallelujah. Amen. But it's also great, and I do want to thank Rosemary for allowing us to regather. These things are important. No, I'm not going to be able to join you today. I know you're going to bother me again about that. No, I'm not going to be able to join you today. But the things that Rosemary have in mind are to get together and just take some time in Christian fellowship and have some fun. Due to COVID and us not being able to use the building all the time, plus we're finally in here, it kind of been hard to have a concert on that side, but God has given us this great sanctuary. Good acoustics in here, right? She has other things planned. When I go to Beef O'Brady's on Saturday, I don't take my phone in. I get 4 hours, and the guys and gals that we hang out, we just spend time laughing. Have fun today. There's no charge. There's a free will offering, but she's got more concerts coming up. Maybe there are going to be some ladies group functions, by the way. She's always going to need help, right, Rosemary? She's planning on some dinner functions. Maybe you go to houses or do something. Some of you used to like that. Kay can't do all that anymore. And there's probably a breakfast group that comes together. And, oh, there's all kinds of things. Maybe a magician. Too many syllables in that word. But Jesus isn't these things. This is important. This is times to gather. Whichever ones you're... Apparently the saxophonist is going to get a big crowd. God is letting us use this building to gather and set aside the world, but to still be in fellowship and love one another. That is incredible good news. But we do that for everybody as best as we are able. And you have no idea how excited St. Anne Catholic Church is to be here. They really wanted to celebrate the Ascension of our Lord on the 26th, which is Thursday. We're going to celebrate that combined with the final Sunday of Easter, the seventh Sunday on the 29th. They asked if they could worship. That's not the time that they're here. They're here Saturdays. And you know what the answer was instantaneously? Of course you can. They're going to have a worship service on the 26th at 11 o'clock. If you want to come, we'll let you know. And they, of course, they worship on that side. But that's because we love them. We may barely know them, but they're brothers and sisters in Christ, solidified with us in His crucifixion, what? And His resurrection. Amen. And hallelujah. And come on, I haven't bored you to death yet. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, Judy did it for you.
Did you invite them to the concert?
Mm-hmm. And they know about the free medical clinic bus, too. Yes. See, a lot of things happen in the office that nobody knows about. In fact, we put the flyer on their altar, so they definitely know. They were invited beforehand, with the connection we have there. I don't know if they'll come, but you'll probably have some of them come. Today's gospel, Jesus really theologically spends some time thanking him for this. When he says to his disciples that are still with him, Judas is gone. You cannot go where I am going. Give thanks. Because he went where we cannot go and come back to hell itself, we can live with him here in this life and with his Father and him and the Holy Spirit in heaven. That is an incredible gift to always thank him for. So to Jesus always may we say, thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to continue as you rise as you're able with the Apostles' Creed. It'll be up here in the monitors if you prefer in your bulletin. It is on page 3. Living together in faith, trust, and hope, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. Zoe's excited. You should see her up here. She is like, wow, what is all that? What's going on? Isn't it amazing sometimes children understand the mystery of God better than we do? And what did Jesus say? Come to me as a child and receive the kingdom of heaven. And this is it that he gave us on the last night of his life. That is just an incredible gift. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. and great love you sent to us, Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering and preach good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in his grace and the power of the healing Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Rise as you're able as we'll pray the blessing. We need to get the blessing back there, Fernanda Monica. The Lord's there. There we go. It's on the back of your bulletin as well. Let us pray together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, "Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are Jesus strong. Amen." Thank you, Bill and Sharon and Bob, for leading us. Give them a big amen.
Amen.
Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Go in peace. Share the gospel good news as we serve and love one another as Christ first loves us. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a great week.